And Lord, I thank you that your kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. I thank you that, Lord, I thank you that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we invite you here today to bring your kingdom. We invite you here today, Lord. I ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand what you want to speak to us tonight. Yeah. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, I see many familiar faces. If you don't know me, please come up and say hi. I'm very personable.
Hi, John.
I'm sociable. I'm warning you, though, I will most likely hug you. I am a hugger. So I'm one of those. Watch out. I just want to let you know, I'm the youth and the young adult pastor up at TCF North. And we have a cheering section here. Actually, my dad's from North. And so we're actually in the process of planting a church, a young adult church. Put up there. And we just had our first meeting 2 weeks ago, and it was awesome. It was off the hook. And Melissa and John were up with us, and John didn't chase me around or anything. It was cool. So that's a little bit about me. But I want to share something with you that has been absolutely transforming my life. I've been a Christian most of my life. I was born in Pakistan, moved to Canada when I was 8, had a little bit of an accent, and was picked on a lot growing up and all that good stuff. Not so good stuff. And I just started walking with God. I did the School of Ministry in 2005. John was my outreach leader. And it was really cool. But I can honestly tell you, in about the past 6 months, God started revealing something to me, which I'm sure we've all heard many, many times, but it's absolutely revolutionizing and changing the way I think about Him and changing the way I think about Christianity, and it's changed my life. The way I carry myself, the way I act, the way I think, the way I talk, the way I walk. I feel like a completely new man. Like I'd be completely reborn. And I pray that that revelation will hit you today and that you will be transformed. So, are you ready for it?
Yes!
Here's the revelation. We.
I love it.
Ready? Don't get ahead of yourselves.
We
are in. Yeah, say this with me.
We are in Christ.
We are in Christ. Okay. I used to teach kids for about 6 years. So I think of actions to go along with this. So everyone, go we.
We.
Say your name. Is in. Okay, I'm gonna have a hard time doing this. But hold your hand and pretend you're holding a cup.
Okay.
And then your other hand is gonna symbolize you and put it to a little point. And put it in the cup. Get in the cup, in the cup. We, me, is in Christ. Okay, everyone, can we do that together? We are in Christ. Excellent.
Yeah.
What are we in?
Christ.
Who are we in?
Christ.
Excellent. How many of you have heard this before? How many of you have heard that we are in Christ? My entire assembly has their hands up because for the past 6 months, I kid you not, there are times we're in the office and there's a serious conversation going on. I'm like, guys, stop. Stop what you're doing. We are in Christ. And people are like, ha ha ha, John, very funny. Good for you. But really, that's what it is. We have been put into Jesus Christ. And I'm realizing more and more that this is the answer to every single problem we have ever had or will ever have. You see, God only has one way of dealing with us. Only one. And that is to remove us from the picture and substitute His Son in our place and deal with us on that basis. That is how God deals with us. That's how God deals with you. That is the power of the cross. Is that on that cross, what happened was that Jesus died for all humanity. But in some weird way, I can't even begin to explain it to you. I can't even pretend to understand it. I can say I'm only at the beginning of the beginning. That we were put into Jesus Christ, so that when He died, we died. And when He was raised, we were raised. Yeah. In the mystery of God, God took you and me, and He put us in Christ. Because He saw that our sinful natures, He saw that The way we were, the way we lived, the way we acted, we weren't able to choose him. We were in bondage to our sin. We were in bondage to our problems. I don't know if any of you have felt like you're stuck on a problem that you just can't get over. Because you're speaking the story of my life here. All my life I've struggled with rejection. For most of my life I've struggled with pornography and masturbation. I've struggled with these things. I'm like, I'm a Christian, I need to get over this. This is wrong, this is horrible. I'd be in groups of people. There was one time, actually, I grew up at TCF, and I was in the youth group, and at this point, there was probably about 100 youth there, and I knew most of them, you know, we're just hanging out, and actually, one night, Mel was saying, who needs prayer, and I put my hand up, and I came up to the front, and literally, 100 people, 100 of the closest people to me came and surrounded me. And I was in the middle, and I still felt like I was on the outside looking in. Whoa. Still, I honestly felt like I could have just stepped outside of the circle, and not a thing would have changed. And so all my life, I've struggled with rejection. And I'm realizing more and more how God's answer to this is Jesus Christ himself. Because what happens is that when you are a Christian, you are instantly and immediately, through faith in Jesus Christ, you're transferred over. It says in Colossians 1, that he has, I believe it's Colossians 1:27, that he has transferred us over from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of the Son he loves. We are taken from death to life. Come on! Oh, come on! I think I'm so excited about this. They're looking at me, it's either going in really deep, and you're like, and you're munching on it? Or it's going right over your heads. I don't know, but I have the microphone, so you kind of have to listen to me. What happened in that one instant was that you were taken from death to life. You have Jesus Christ in you. And whether you realize it or not, that's the truth. Whether you realize it or not, you have had a spiritual experience. You know, because I talk to people and they're like, John, I want to see angels. I want to go up to the third heavens and see the throne room of God and the rainbow and the crystal. It's cool. If God gives you that, excellent, go with it. God wants to give you supernatural experiences, but the supernatural experience is that you were dead and now you were born again. Amen. You were dead and now you are alive. That was the supernatural experience. Come on. But I'm realizing this, is that when we were in the kingdom of darkness, we were taught to live, think, act, feel in certain ways, right?
Yeah.
I worked at Radio Shack for many years.
Woo!
It was filled with brown people. Excellent. I can say that because I'm brown. It was awesome. And I worked at Radio Shack. And I was taught how to earn approval from my boss by selling a lot of things. In high school, because I didn't want to be rejected, I decided that I wanted to get in with the cool kids. I wanted to do what they were doing. I want to have really baggy pants around my ankles. I want to grab my crotch. I was actually pretending to do some swagger today, and I was like, what's up?
Because
that was my real swagger. Don't worry. Ask me after. I'll show you. I got a real swagger. It's true. I'm not going to lie. I was taught how to earn people's approval, how to earn people's acceptance. I was taught that in order to be liked, I had to be a certain way, I had to act, I had to do a certain thing. I was taught that if I was lonely, I should get around people. If I was lonely, I didn't ever want to be alone. I can remember there were nights I would stay up to like 4 or 5, 6 o'clock in the morning just so I wouldn't have to go home and be alone by myself. I don't know if any of you can relate to me. If you can, don't raise your hands. But it's cool. just listen. This is what happened. I was taught to live this way. I was taught to live in the kingdom of darkness. And what happens is that God, in his great mercy and his great love, looked at me and he said, I love you. I'm going to provide a way out for you. It says in Galatians 5:1 that it is for freedom Christ has set us free. And that is the only reason Jesus Christ came and died, was so that you and I could be free.
Yeah.
Because as John said, God is glorified when he is good. In fact, it's St. Irenaeus of Lyon who said, The glory of God is man fully alive. God is most glorified when you're fully alive, when you're made, when you're doing what he created you for, when you're full of life and hope and peace and joy. You think it's glorifying God to be walking around as a sad, bitter, angry Christian? It's really not. I have people come up to me and like, John, what's different about you? You're just so full of life and joy and you're happy. Why are you so happy? And they say it like they're angry about me being happy. But it's because I was taught to live this way. I was taught that to earn people's acceptance, not to earn people's approval. And without me realizing it, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I was transferred over into life, but I didn't know how to live this way. And so I went right back to living the way I did before, and I started thinking to myself, Christianity's broken. This doesn't work. This isn't happening. I feel like I don't have a relationship with God. I feel like I need to earn God's love and God's acceptance and God's approval. But do you understand what it means that you are in Christ? Because Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, he says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in faith by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." So it's no longer you who live. So that means in the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ, you were transferred over into life. And the moment you accepted Jesus Christ, what is true of Christ is now true of you. That means, that because it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says that, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." That means right now, in this moment, God sees you as being holy.
Yeah.
That means right now, in this moment, God sees you as being righteous. That means right now, in this moment, you have wisdom from God that no one else on this earth can access. Simply because you are in Jesus Christ. And what is true of Christ is now true of you. Do you know what that means? What is true of Christ is now true of you. And it means there was one time, I was just feeling alone. And I'm like, God, this sucks. I was complaining to him. I was like, God, it sucks. Oh. And God just said to me, he said, John, if I'm with you, how can you ever be alone?
Yeah.
If I am in you, how can you ever be alone? And I realized that what I was doing was, in this way of life, I've been taught that I need to live for acceptance and approval and love. But what's happened is that we no longer live in the kingdom of darkness. We're being brought over to the kingdom of life. And what this means is that now we are free. It's for freedom Christ has set us free. So we are free to live from love instead of for love. We are free to live from acceptance instead of for acceptance. We are free to live from approval instead of for approval. Do you know what that means? That means that now I am free to talk to anyone I want because I don't need their approval.
Yeah.
That means that I have the approval of Jesus Christ over me. How many of you know what happened when Jesus got baptized? Before we go any further, I'm going to be bouncing around a lot in the Bible, just letting you know. In case you didn't figure it out. But in Matthew, actually, I do want to read this to you. If you do have your Bibles, please turn with me. To Matthew. Matthew, let me just turn there and I'll be able to tell you. I'm a very visual learner, and so in my Bible, I remember where verses are, but I sometimes don't remember. I remember where on the page they are, but I sometimes struggle with their address. So, Matthew 3. Matthew 3:16 says this. "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'"
Yeah.
I want you to know something. One, the word for it, it says the heavens were open, so you think of like a can opener, like scrolling back. I know that's what I do sometimes. I think of like Jesus was baptized, and then I guess that's what a sound can opener makes. I don't know. I'm not very good at sound effects. But the actual word there that was used means that the heavens were violently torn open, because it's as if God couldn't wait to hold his approval back from his Son. And God says to his Son, he says, "You are my Son, and you I am well pleased." Guess who's in Christ?
Me!
And what is true of Christ is true of you. So therefore, God has already spoken over each and every single one of your lives that you are pleasing to Him. That's what that means. It means that from now on, you never need to work for His approval. You already have His approval.
Yes.
And He has already spoken the words over you that you are pleasing to me. That I love you. What can we do? And I'm realizing more and more that with my rejection, with pornography, with addictions, with lust, with whatever it is, I'm realizing that I am in Christ. I'm in this kingdom. And those things no longer have a hold on me because I died to it. I was raised with Christ, and now I live as a brand new, completely new creation. You no longer have a sin nature. You no longer have a propensity towards sin. You are no longer attracted towards sin. What God did in that moment of you accepting Him is He gave you a choice again when you had no choice. Because it says in the Bible, it says in Romans 6 that we were slaves to sin.
Yes.
Which means that we had no choice when sin comes along, when we feel lonely, we turn to things to fill our loneliness. Yeah. I don't know if you're the only one who's ever done this. Because I have. No, you're definitely not the only one who's ever done this. That's what I said. I realized that when I was lonely, I would turn to pornography to fill my loneliness. I realized that when I was lonely, I would try to hang out with as many people as I could to fill my loneliness. In fact, I used to think, you know, if I was sick today and I went to the hospital, I wonder how many people will come and see me. I wonder how popular I am. I wonder how much people love me. Because I was trying to fill my loneliness from them.
Yeah.
But what needs to change in our lives is we need to get into God's face and say, God, I am in this kingdom. Teach me how to live and act and breathe as a new creation. That is why Paul's letters, and every single one of Paul's letters, he wrote to you and he gave you your death certificate. He said, you are dead. You have died with Christ. You are no longer that same person. And then after every time he tells you you are dead, he then starts telling you how a new creation should live, breathe, act, think. That's all it is. That's why he gives you so many commands to love one another. That's why he says, do not be envious, do not be jealous, do not be proud, do not be boastful. Why? Because you are brand new and that is now your nature. That is your identity.
Yes.
That is who you are. And this is why if we learn to live out of this identity as opposed to our old one, we will find that nations will come to us. We'll find that people will be attracted to us because they will see what they were created for.
Come on.
You can actually reveal to people what they were created for, who they were created for, and why they were created.
Yeah.
That is the power that you carry in your very life, in your very body right now.
Yeah.
You have the power to reveal the God and to reveal the fullness of God in you right now where you are, because it says in Colossians that you have been given fullness in Christ. And that is why if we learn how to live like this, as opposed to living our lives like this, if we start to live like this, I'm convinced that communities will be transformed by the love of God.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but this burns my heart like nothing else burns my heart, is I want to see people, I want to see nations, I want to see my friends, I want to see my family know the love of God like I have come to know it. Because my life has been so transformed, I am no longer the same person.
Yeah.
And I know that because God loves me, that He loves you.
Yeah.
And that is my message. Is that, I don't care if I'm a janitor at McDonald's, I don't care if I'm the next CEO of Microsoft, I don't care if I'm the next Prime Minister, it doesn't matter what I do, that's not who I am.
Yes.
And who I am is a loved son of God that I want to share His love with everyone I meet.
Yes.
And what has so gripped me, what has so gripped me recently is that I've been studying church history, and never before have I seen a people who have come into this revelation of knowing who they are in Christ Jesus, that they start walking in this and talking like this and breathing like this. Because I'm convinced that when we start living and acting and breathing as free sons and daughters of the King, that Isaiah 60 will happen. And for those of you who don't know Isaiah 60, I want you to turn there right now. This is what happens in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 1. We're going to go down to verse 3. Arise and shine. And I believe this is God's word to you, Central. I believe this is God speaking to you. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. When did that happen? That happened the instant that you accepted Jesus Christ into your life.
Yes.
And then it says, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
Right.
Sweet.
I honestly believe with all my heart that if we start to live and act and breathe as new covenant creations, as brand new creations in Jesus Christ, yeah, that people will be so attracted to us because they will see what they were created for and they will be willing to give their lives for it. But before that happens, I want to show you one other thing straight from what happened with Jesus. It says here in the Bible, in Matthew 4, you can turn back there if you like, or you can just let me read it. What happens? God says, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Right? The Spirit comes down. And then it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And I want you to notice something very key here, because what is true of Jesus is true of us, right?
Yes.
Yes?
Right, yes.
So that means the devil will try to tempt us in the same way as he tempted Jesus. And he got the first Adam. These are the two temptations of the devil. He got the first Adam meaning Adam in the garden, Adam and Eve. He got them to sin and stumble by having them ask, has God really said? Did God really say you shouldn't eat from the fruit? Did God really say that? And in our life, that's what he tries to get us to do. He tries to get us to question, has God said? And his other way of tempting us is very similar. He came to Jesus, and right after the Father, the King of all the universe, has said to his Son, he said, you are my beloved Son, and you are well pleased. Jesus gets led into the desert, and when he's led into the desert, the devil comes to him and starts to say, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off the temple. See, this is the great key. This is what the devil will try to do. He will try to make you work for what you already have. He will try to make you work for what you already have. Because what happened was that God the Father said to his Son, you are my beloved Son, and you are well pleased. And the devil, after 40 days and 40 nights of food, of no food, of being in the desert by himself, Jesus is at a weakened state. And the devil comes to him and starts to say, if you are the Son of God. And you know what? He does that to us. But what he does is he doesn't really say, if you are the Son of God, if you are the daughter of God. What God has said over your life is, you are accepted. Therefore, I can live from acceptance. But what the devil comes to you and says, if you are accepted, prove yourself. So that means when we're in a crowd of people, we suddenly feel like we need to perform for approval. We feel like we need to perform for acceptance because we have believed the lie that if we are accepted, we need to do these things. To prove that you are accepted, you need to be funny. To prove that you are accepted, you need to go out drinking with your friends. To prove that you are accepted, let's just go out and get high. And what happens is that we so quickly forget that we already are accepted. That we already are loved. See, this is the huge key. Where what will happen, I can get, like, you can walk out of here, and in a week's time, you'll be like, yeah, I'm in Christ. But I guarantee you, 40 days from now, when you're in a weakened state, when you've been going through your life and watching TV and you haven't really been getting the word into you, the devil will come to you and he will say, to prove you're accepted, do this.
Yeah.
To prove that you are loved, do this, act like this, be like this, think like this. And this is what we need to guard against. Because if we don't, we'll go back to living as if we're in darkness, instead of living as the new creations we are.
Yeah.
That's what happens. But I want you to notice one other thing. And this has so cut me. This is right to my heart when I realized this, my world was shattered. When Jesus died, it says that the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? Are you guys lost out of space? Or, I don't know. I like audience participation, so
we're good.
Scream, yell, dance. What happened was that when Jesus died, for those of you who don't know, in the Old Testament, God's presence, God's glory rested in one place. It rested in the temple in Jerusalem. And only in the temple, in this one room called the Holy of Holies, and what separated the Holy of Holies from everyone else was a very thick curtain. And it was so intense in there that the high priest, the person who was ordained by God to go in there, could only enter in once a year. And when he entered in, he had to follow strict regulations. And in fact, I don't know if you know this, he had to wear bells around him. He had to wear pomegranates around him, things that would shake when he moved. And he had a rope tied to him that led outside. Because the glory of God was so thick that people sometimes died. I'm not making this up. I would hate to have that job. It's like, am I dead yet? Am I going to die? Am I going to die? I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. They're in there, and if they die, no one can go in there to pull them out. So that's why they had a rope. And if they stop moving, if you heard bells stop tickling, I can't remember how many young, strong men were at the other end of the rope, but they would just yank with all their might and pull them out. Sometimes I want to see that happen, But this is what happens. It says that in the moment that Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And it's because God showed this to me. He said, John, it could never be torn from bottom to top because you could never enter into my presence. I provided the way to you. So as soon as my son died, I reached down from heaven and I tore the veil that was separating you from coming into my presence. And my presence was released into the earth. And it says, it actually says, that the bodies of righteous men and women of that day who had died came back to life and entered the city and walked around, and people were amazed. Because this is what happens. This is what happens when we start living in a kingdom mindset, when we start living as brand new creations, we release the power of Jesus Christ into the people around us, and they're made new, they're made whole, without them even realizing it. They start coming to life. And people will stop and stare and wonder why it is that you release life around you wherever you go. That when you get into a room, things get brighter. Situations that seem hopeless no longer are hopeless because you carry the Prince of Hope inside of you. When you get into a situation, I recently went to this family's home. There's some crazy things going on with their family. The daughter and the mom were fighting. I didn't even want to go into it, but it was just not a good situation. And I went there to see them. And I found out after that the mom said, she said, as soon as you walked in, it was like as if peace just settled up over the entire household. In fact, I tried to see her oldest son, and her oldest son couldn't get out of bed because he was just like, I feel so peaceful, I can't move. And I'm not saying this because I'm like, oh, look at John Chucker. No, I'm saying this because we can live in such kingdom mentality, such kingdom reality, that we actually release whoever we're carrying into the areas around us. Whoever you carry, you will release. And if we learn how to walk and act and think as sons and daughters of the Most High God, instead of sons and daughters who are in darkness, we will transform culture, we will transform our society, simply with the love of God. But it all happens, it all starts right here. It all starts with you. But I'm telling you that there is a generation that's waiting for you. There's a generation that's waiting for you to rise up and to be the son, to be the daughter that you were called to be. And I am not willing to stand by and to see my friends. To see my friends and the people I love and the people I care about be inflicted with pain and suffering and sorrow and be in this kingdom of darkness when I can do something about it, I'm not willing. And I said to God, God, I will lay down my life. I will give it all up. I don't care. Just use me to show them how much you love them. But it will take a generation. And this is what I've given my life for, is to see a generation raised up that will walk in their identity, that will walk in the revelation that there are sons and daughters, that they are in Christ, and Christ alone, and that's only about Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ wants to make you glorious. There's Christ in you. Christ with you. Christ through you. Christ partnered with you. But I beg you, and I plead with you, to stop living as if you are still dead. To stop living as if you are still rejected. To stop living as if you still need approval. Because you've already been given fullness in Christ. And there's a world and there's a generation that needs you. And desperately needs you. Some of you, I was going to say something real quick, and then we're going to go into ministry. Some of you have lived like you are insignificant because the world has told you you're insignificant. But the instant you accepted Jesus Christ, you became more relevant to the world than you could ever know. You became more significant to the world than you could ever know. And this is why you need to start living and acting and breathing like you're significant, because you matter. Some of you have tried to fight for your place. Some of you have tried to make yourself approved and make yourself accepted. Some of you have felt like you've never been loved. But the truth is that you are loved. You are loved. And the devil will come to you and will try to speak his lies over and over to you. But if you start saying, I'm loved, I'm loved, I'm loved. God, show your love to me. Lord, let me taste of your love. All today I've been on the edge of weeping pretty much all day because I've just felt the kindness of God pouring into me. And it's like, God, you're so kind to me. Why are you so kind? Because it made a new revelation of him. But he wants to reveal to you that you are love, that you live from love instead of for love. So what I'd like us to do is if we can just stand. Mr. Kirk, okay, if you can just play for a little bit. I'm sorry, we're just gonna be here for about 2 or 3 more minutes. Because I just feel like God wants to do some business with you. Is it alright if we do some business with God?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I'll just welcome you here. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we say that we're so overwhelmed by your graciousness and your love for us. Lord, that you love us so much that you've transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of life, God. And there's nothing we could have done to get into this kingdom. But all you have done is you have taken us and put us in your Son. And you have said, remain in that place. Remain in that place of being in Christ. And I speak to all of your hearts right now, and I say that you are in Christ. And as I've been speaking, God started speaking to some of you. I just want you to just get into a place with God. Close your eyes if that helps. Just start to focus on him. Turn your affections, turn your gaze towards him. But as I've been speaking, God's been talking to some of you, and he's been telling you places that you live, ways that you live, ways that you think that are not consistent with the kingdom of light. They're consistent.